Grace and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we gather together. I wish you well. Today is a good day to think about baptism, to think about what Christ has done with us and through us in baptism, and to give some serious thought to what happened when our Lord was baptized. He was baptized by John in the Jordan. John the Baptist baptized him. John, of course, recognized that Jesus need not be baptized, and that if anyone was going to be baptized, perhaps Jesus should baptize John rather than John baptizing Jesus. For the greater should baptize the lesser. That's why teachers teach and students learn. But Jesus feels, and I think quite rightly, that in order for him to begin his ministry, he does so in all humility and in all faithfulness. And that's a good way to start anything. If you're going to start something, start it in humility and faithfulness. That you're going to pursue something with all good intent. And that you're going to learn in the process. And so Jesus begins his ministry with his baptism in the River Jordan. And much, we will hear, happens after he is baptized. At this time, we see the Trinity revealed boldly. As we hear the voice which comes from heaven, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with him I am well pleased." And we hear, and we see that the Holy Spirit descends upon him as a dove, alighting on him. I've had confirmation classes which take things literally, and so they tend to see the Holy Spirit as a bird. And I have to remind them occasionally that this is how the Holy Spirit moves, not necessarily that the Holy Spirit is a bird. But in any case, it's a wonderful imagery. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all in one place. And at least for the four Gospels, this is when the ministry of Jesus begins. He does this not because he needs to repent. Our Lord does this not because he needs to repent for his sins, but he does this as a lesson for us. A lesson of humility and faithfulness. And so we humbly go to God. And perhaps we go to God when we're a baby. Someone carries us to the baptismal font and makes promises in our name of how we will live our lives. And the baby receives God's promises of faithfulness and forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. And those promises are exchanged. And when someone becomes older, certainly a teenager, many of our teenagers affirm their faith, the faith of their baptism, as they are confirmed in our faith. And so now they can say aloud what they could not say when they were a child, "Yes, I believe." And so for us, we come every Sunday affirming the same faith. We believe in the faith of our baptism. We believe that God has chosen us to be his own and his children. He's blessed us abundantly, and so we strive to walk in that light of Christ, that light of Christ. I wanted to remind you again, perhaps what you haven't heard very often. Certainly, if you listen carefully, you will hear these words spoken whenever we baptize a child. It is what the parents and sponsors say or are asked when they come to the baptismal font. The pastor will say, "As you bring your child to receive the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with the following responsibilities: to live with them among God's faithful people, to bring them to the Word of God and to the Holy Supper, to teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, to place in their hands the Holy Scripture, to nurture them in faith and prayer, so that your child or children may learn to trust God. You are to proclaim Christ throughout word and deed, to care for others and the world that God has made, and to work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help your children grow in the Christian faith and life?" And sponsors are asked to respond out of faithfulness, out of trust and belief in God, "I do." Those promises are made not only for our children, but they're made for ourselves. When we commit ourselves to Christ, or when we recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ, perhaps that's a better way of putting it, we receive God as Lord and Savior, and so we strive to live as Christ would have us live. And there are ways that we can do that. There are ways with word and sacrament. There are ways with prayer. There are ways through generosity. There are ways of growing in our faith. And we should strive to do that. Too often I have had parents say, please baptize my child, and I don't see them again. I don't see them again for a long time. Some return for confirmation as an opportunity to do what has already been done, for their children to affirm their faith. And yet after that, there's a gap also. Our life in Christ begins, certainly, probably before we're born, before we even exist. God has an idea of who we are and how we will act to serve others in faith. And then we come into the world, and at some point we're baptized. And for the sake of the world and for the sake of the gospel, God blesses us abundantly in baptism. And we, on our part, we promise to live a life of faith. My hope is as we think about our Lord's baptism, we recognize our life of faith is exactly that. It is a life of faith. It is not a moment of faith. It is not an event in my life. It is indeed a life of faith. We will certainly strive to do what is right. But there will be times, of course, when we will sin, and God recognizes that. And as we repent of that sin, God will certainly restore us and will welcome us back and will continue to strengthen us in faith. I met with a gentleman earlier this week. He described himself as a Turk, as someone who had come from Turkey originally. I asked him if he was a Christian, and we had a long discussion of what it meant to be a Christian. He was a Muslim. He told me about his faith and what he believed. I asked questions and he taught me. For almost 2 hours, I listened to him. We were about 24 inches apart. Our faces were that close. He said, I'm from the Middle East. I need to be close to you. So for 2 hours, I stared at his face and listened to him and asked him questions. And I felt in him a longing for Christ, but a desire to affirm his past. You could see that the man, it seemed like he was hungry for Christ. He wanted the God. He had married a Christian. He had divorced a Christian. He was in the area because he wanted to be close to his children. But he considered himself a Muslim because that's how he had grown up. And as I asked him questions, he did his very best, I think, to explain his faith to me. And I did my very best to listen to him, at least believing that he was hungering for something beyond what he understood from his religion and from his faith. There are a lot of hungry people in the world. There are people who need to know that God loves them. They need to know that there is hope. They need to know that institutions may fail them, and sometimes the church will fail them, but that God will not fail them. And we are to be ministers of that faith. For God has prepared us in a variety of different ways for us to do that. Some of you have had wonderful experiences in your life talking to others. Some of you have skills and abilities that make you available to others and helpful to others. In each of our own particular ways, we should be sharing Christ. Sharing the light of Christ. Sharing the love of Christ. Sharing the hope of Christ. And sharing the peace of Christ. The world is a very broken place at times. Everyone is looking for answers. And curiously enough, there are people, there are organizations, there are institutions, there are authorities in the world who want to give people answers which are not the true answer. They may satisfy for a little while. They're like fast food. Most of us know what fast food is. They satisfy for a little while, but they're not the real thing. They're not what we really need. They're not what we really hunger for. We have the opportunity to do a wonderful thing in this world, to share what is right and true, to change lives and perhaps even change the history of the world. Christ has done it once, and the church has a habit of trying to do that and being successful at many times through the power of the Holy Spirit. There are many things we could do today. And many things that could be fixed or improved. If we are bold in our faith, if we are thoughtful in our faith, if we are kind in our faith, if we are generous in our faith. Give some thought to the baptism of Jesus. It is the beginning All of us have passed that point. All of us have been baptized. We're beyond the beginning. Perhaps we're in the early parts of our faith life. Perhaps we're in the middle. A few of us may be in the mature years of our faith life. Let us share what we have with others. If we have a little faith, let us share what little faith we have. And if we have a great faith, let us share what is great about our faith. There are people who are hungry, and we just can't ignore them. Let us do what we can to reach out to others with the love of Christ, not only for the sake of the gospel, but that the world might see and know the one who is the true light, who comes into the world to enlighten everyone, the true light that is Jesus Christ. Amen.